Because you can handle the truth.
All right. Republic of Texas Radio Hour 2, Sunday, May 19th. Just a quick check. Do we still have Michael in Kentucky? I know he's got to bounce out to church here in a few minutes. Are you there?
Yes, I'm here. What I was going to make reference to on with comparison there between TWA Flight 800 is that the 702 witness interview statements that the FBI did with that are known to be fabricated from somebody's memory months and months later after the witness interviews. And so you may remember there were several hundred people that took out the big page ads and like the New York Times that said, we saw a missile fly up toward Flight 800, you know. And the government's ignoring that. And so they, FBI is known to have some bureaucratic tricks there to engage in cover-up. Well, if you look at those photos from this report that was released, they blacked out or they redacted the faces of these guys. That's fairly understandable. But the only reason to make the contrast so high that you can't see the towers in the skyline in the background or make it appear that that is not redacted because of that contrast is to cover up the time that they got there by how much smoke is coming out of the towers or no smoke at all coming out of the towers. And, you know, like the guy standing there with the lighter underneath of it, they, you know, they don't want you to see not only who it is, but what the expression is on his face. Is he celebrating or is he about to light it on fire? You know, the date on the photos, like you can understand those being wrong. You know, they're dated 9/10.
You know, the description, they actually have verbiage to go along describing the pictures, and they claim that the guy is smiling and ecstatic. He says
right.
They were all happy. So they might black it out.
But blacking out the towers and the skyline in the background would reveal when about when they got there. Like if there's just barely a little bit of smoke coming off the North Tower, it's known about how long it would take them to get up there and set up with their tripod or whatever and take. And the video is still classified too. Apparently, there's video that's not been destroyed, even though the 70 pictures or however many pictures it was, dozens of them were destroyed supposedly by the FBI in 2014. And all we have left is these photocopies that's in this report, heavily redacted report, with huge sections. But, I mean, it just points toward anticipating that this needed to be covered up because it looks like these guys had foreknowledge. If these guys had foreknowledge, they didn't do their part. They didn't hold up their part of the agreement to participate in the Five Eyes intelligence network. They're like tagged on with the rest of the Anglo-American Empire in, I don't know, 2003 or so, I think it was, NARIS was sold to Boeing. And I put the word sold in quotes because at this level, money doesn't matter. It's the information. And part of the agreement is Israel gets a copy of everything that they were already probably getting anyway from Amdocs and Infosys and the organized crime that Fox News talks about that was hacking into police officers' cell phones and pagers so they could run their organized crime and stay ahead of the police, which you have to wonder how many police, if they do stumble across a Jewish organized crime, go, we don't want to mess with them. They're too politically connected. So Jewish organized crime is allowed to continue unchecked. It's just one token movie about it coming out of Hollywood. At the same time, it's so, the Italian mafia, Chinese mafia, every other mafia, Russian mafia gets a movie made about it.
Yeah. Well, you know, Alan, have you followed any of that this week?
I've heard a little bit about it, and I have about as much faith in that as kind of like I remember after 9/11. They were saying, "Oh, we're going to war. We're going to go over there and bomb them out of those caves and everything." But we're not going to show you why we're going over there because it's too traumatic for the American people. No, it's the American people, even as dumb as they are, if they saw that collapse. You know, besides the day that it happened, if they kept showing that collapse of those towers, everyone would start going, wow, that's the funniest looking collapse I've ever seen. It looks like it's puffing out everywhere. It's like, what the hell is going on with that? Why is smoke going? Why is dust going up and out to the sides? And it looks like a big ice cream cone when it's coming down.
I don't want to confuse the issue here. The issue is prior knowledge.
Right.
You know, no matter how they brought the towers down, no matter why they had to, because to mitigate the asbestos was worth more than the real estate. You know, it was a third of the way up
The Israeli government had prior knowledge or were involved or caused the collapse, right?
It's going to make it all fly apart. Fly apart. How many nukes, okay, you guys are not diabolical, I know, but you've probably seen lots of James Bond, Dr. No type, you know, scenarios. How many nuclear devices would you need to hold America and most of the world hostage right now? Israel has nukes.
I don't know. One.
Oh, I know they've got a bunch of them. One well-placed one. I don't know.
Exactly. A few well-placed nukes.
One.
And you could cause massive tsunamis all around you could wipe out Florida and most of the coast of the United States and probably inundate most of England, depending on how high the tsunami was. You know, it wouldn't get over the cliffs of Dover necessarily, but there's lots of vulnerable infrastructure that a massive tsunami just with one or two nukes on the right islands off the coast of West Africa, boom.
Yeah.
You got a tsunami that goes all the way around. That would make Japan and Fonda H probably pale by comparison.
It can be a good reason for them to let the nukes fly. You know,
I don't think people realize this. And these people that are blinded by Mammon have been handed over to a reprobate mind. They actually, in their head, think that they could destroy America and it wouldn't destroy the world. We're holding the world hostage anyway with the 288,000 tons of nuclear fuel sitting around in these cooling ponds. The permits have continually been expanded and extended, and even though, you know, the rods only stay hot and can go critical for about 6 years, they're sitting there with others that will catch on fire. And you get, you know, can you imagine 100 Fukushimas just smoldering forever? And, you know, basically... It would eventually destroy, I think, most of the world. There might be a few little pockets you could survive, but I think that's why you never heard the news media talk about Kim Jong-un and his missiles. What they tried to foo-foo was, he doesn't have a reentry vehicle. He can't get a nuke to the ground. Well, who cares if you can get one five or 600 miles above America? How much chaos would that cause just from taking out people's car ignitions and large chunks of the electrical grid in Houston? What happened 3 days after Hurricane Harvey took out the electricity? You get a hydrogen peroxide plant, kaboom, you know, starts blowing up. So without electricity, a lot of pollution in this country is going to happen in days. And what choice would you have but to bug out? If you're manning the pumps at the nuclear power plant,
you can't bug anywhere. You can't, but there's no solution to that. I guess living underground
and survive in South America if you could hijack a casino boat. Go hijack one of them floating casinos and take off. Huh?
Maybe that you have the ability to. I don't know. If there's a meltdown of all infrastructure, we're talking planetary debt, right? You know, maybe some pockets of humanity would survive.
Our civilization's balanced on a knife edge. So, how many nukes would Israel have to hold the world hostage? Not that many, and they've got the backers that have $500 trillion in their coffers that they've socked away. The Rothschilds.
What was the technology used on 9/11 in the first place? Something made that building dustify, as G. Wood says.
Again,
go poof.
That's true, Alan. Right, but see, that's not what we. The important part of what happened last week about that information coming out through judicial law, I believe, is the source.
Even if it does make it to the public, they'll have someone stand up on Fox or CNN or MSNBC or something like that and wave their arm in front of them and say, these are not the droids you're looking for, and everyone will go back to sleep.
It's probably been released, you know, and so they're making no qualms about Israel right now. And it's almost like looks like they're trying to pick a fight. And so, you know, we're sliding down a slippery slope. And
Israel really wants us to go after Iran. And Iran is, what a lot of people don't realize, Iran is four times bigger than Iraq. Iraq might have been a confidence builder for the military. And if you look, it's about 300,000 square kilometers. And you need, under most military conventional school of thought, is you need a soldier per square kilometer. So they had 150-some thousand troops and 150-some thousand contractors to occupy Iraq, 300,000 square kilometers, about 300,000 troops. You know, if you count all the coalition and everything, that's how they occupied Iraq. Who's got a spare, you know, 1.5 million troops to go in and occupy Persia? Because you think it'll be
as I remember in Desert Storm, Gulf War One, the Iraqi elite guard jumping up out of their foxholes and surrendering to kitchen crews, and kitchen crews going, "No, we can't do it. Go, just walk on back. You'll find someone who can take care of you," because they've been hit with psychotronic weaponry.
Yeah, I've heard that too. There's force multipliers, but still, you want to occupy the country. That's different. Invasion is one thing. You want to occupy that country and stabilize it. You're going to have to rotate through probably 1.5 million troops. The Western world's got to commit a bunch of people to taking over Persia. It's a graveyard of empires because it's way more rugged.
Why even bother? Just blow it up and blow up the whole world. The whole process that we're undergoing is the elite, you know, building up infrastructure so they don't need mankind. Right? They don't need mankind, and killing off a whole bunch of useless eaters is the goal. So, you know, if you're trying to, it's like, well, so why occupy if you can just destroy?
I went specifically out of my way to go see the Georgia Guidestones just so I could get an idea of, you know, why that was there, and like it's putting the world on notice that somebody has that intention to get rid of probably 11 out of every 12 people that you know have got to go and not be allowed to breed.
Right.
So,
and we're at that point. We're at that point where they don't want any people anymore. We're here. We don't serve a purpose. There is some technological advancements that we still need to get past. Right? We're going to need to raise all these buildings, so our computerized bulldozers need to go up in tech. You know, so you got to be able to have a backhoe be able to destroy all these things and rewild all these cities that are.
Actually, what I was going to suggest about your guys' economic dilemma down there, somebody could accidentally deliver a nice bulldozer to the wrong location, hack in and get the GPS coordinates messed up, and then just go out there and drive the thing back and forth across the airport about 10 or 12 times and tear up the tarmac.
Right, I know.
And the Learjets won't be able to fly in.
I know, and then they can rebuild it and take it out again. Oh, man, that software is still screwed up. Oh, I don't know.
We'll
figure it out.
Careful. Have a recycling truck accidentally drop a bunch of recycled glass out there in the right time at 4 o'clock in the morning and nobody see it. All their tires burst when they land.
We have enough of these
things. I see the movie. The movie End Time is what I see for the future, basically, for the future humanoids, at least. We will have something implanted in us, and if we want to stay alive, we work. If we don't work, our clock runs out and we expire.
In Demolition Man, the scraps found ways to live underground, literally. And Edgar Friendly. We're already seeing that. There's all kinds of people that live in the underground of Las Vegas, so we're already seeing a lot of that happen. And they, you know, if you've seen those pictures, people have set up entire living spaces down in the viaducts that don't flood unless it's some kind of, you know, very rare flood. So they're down there for years in some cases. living underground and, you know, coming up with their cardboard signs, like you're talking about the guy living in the attic. So they'll just drive more and more people into doing that, being like off-the-grid hermits or whatever. And it's no big surprise. I mean, you really can't own anything that the government can't take away. You become a target. There's, as William Benny says, there's nothing you can do. They're gonna get you one way or the other. But
until enough of us say no.
Scott Bennett. I'm trying to remember who the other guy is. John Kiriakou. Guys found this out the hard way. I mean, they went and they ended up in prison. Donna Shalala's nephew put the PSYOP guy, Scott Bennett, in prison. Because he knew too much. I think with John Kiriakou, he knew too much about the torture program and wouldn't take the training. Out of 14 of his colleagues, he was the only one that refused to take the training to do enhanced interrogation. So that's where we're at. We've got a lot of ruthless people in the bowels of the deep state swamp. And, Trump, if he gets elected a second term, they should be probably shaking, I would think, but I'm not holding my breath.
No, me neither. I'd be more than happy to say I was wrong, but I got a
yeah. It'll be great to say we're wrong. It will be great to say we're wrong about, you know, if he's able to accomplish this sort of stuff. But this scheme that he's got out this week that I heard about, you know, they're reporting your actual evidence tech. Whitehouse.typeform.com, and then it's a big string of junk after that. It's called the tech something. I can't remember the name of it. I'm trying to dial it up here while I'm talking to you. That's one of the main things I called about besides the dancing Israelis. Tech bias story sharing tool. Please, if you have actual evidence of this that's been done to you, give it to them. That could be a fishing expedition that they're looking for people that are targeted to try to figure out why they're targeted. I'm sure if Trump's people look at my postings, just like Judicial Watch, I'm an equal opportunity offender, and I have been for 22 years. I don't cut anybody any slack. I gave W down the road just as much as I did Obama. And that's what we need, an adversarial press, if we want a free country. A bunch of people in the government do not like the press, but for that reason. They are entrenched in it, and if you attack them and they think it, you know, their budget is in jeopardy, you're a target. Mm-hmm. I'll let you guys go, man. Get back to the Republican Texas topics, but it's, you know, stuff affecting me.
Those are our topics.
Right. You know, the same thing affecting me is affecting you guys.
Oh, hell yeah.
Well, goodbye from FEMA District 4. We won't be in the same FEMA camps.
Yes. Well, I don't know. Maybe we'll have a FEMA exchange program. You know, we have Walmart. You have Walmart. We're all.
I doubt I'm on
together.
The Roundup list anyway. I'm probably not on the Roundup list anyway. I'm on the recycle list.
The recycle list?
Oh yeah, they'll make bone meal out of me for the White House Rose Garden. I'll talk to you later.
Okay, bye, Mike. Well, it's kind of probably. Who knows? We'll see if we get there. It does feel like we're getting close. I mean, the more the liberties they take away, and Alan, what I was saying about the Israeli connection and how dancing Israelis is a big black eye for Israel, who is seen as, from a lot of people's eyes, as the untouchables. You know, it's like, oh man, you know, Jesus doesn't want us to screw with the Israelis, or God doesn't want to screw with the Israelis. Sean Hannity and his crew, right? You know, all this, they're the greatest people on earth. Donald Trump, they're the greatest people on earth. But they did know about 9/11, and it's, I don't know. Okay, that's the music. We got Jerry in Texas. If you're still there, Jerry, we'll get you after the, you know, after the break. Hang on, folks. Be right back.
The reviews for Extendivite are amazing. Here are some from Amazon. By Christine, great for heart palpitations. By Anne, before I started using this product, every afternoon, my ankles and my hands would be swollen. That doesn't happen anymore. So if that part of their advertising is true, I have to assume that the rest of it is also. Not to mention that when I had my yearly blood test, only a few weeks after beginning to use this product, my cholesterol had dropped over 30 points. I'm going to continue to take it. By Croc, I love this product. It really works. By Brad, works great, thank you. Tell us your story. Get your Extendivite today. To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now, but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
All right, we're back. I'm just looking through the chat room. It's really active today.
Before we go to Jerry real quick, I mentioned to you that I happened to see some of the Eurovision Freak Fest going on, of all places, in Israel this year. And, you know, I've heard stories before that, you know, that Israel had, you know, that there's all these big gay pride parades and all this stuff and everything over there. I never really thought about that or, you know, thought too much about it. But every time they showed the audience in this thing, it looked like a freaking Village People convention. I mean, it was one of these sickest damn things. And it seemed like every country was trying to see who could get the most perverted, twisted, freakish act on stage. I mean, the guy from Portugal actually had like a scrotum hanging off his chin that wrapped around his ears. I mean, it's some crazy crap. And this is what they present to us as the height of you know, entertainment. I mean, if the world looks at this as the height of entertainment, man, we're in a lot more trouble than I actually think that we're in.
Right, and that Eurovision thing is kind of, what the hell is it, first of all? I guess each country has a television show that promotes, you know, those, like, other type of thing. You know, whatever, okay, this is the best singer in whatever, and they're going to go to the Eurovision thing because they're the best at putting a dildo on their chin.
Biggest freak show I ever seen. It's weird.
And then they mix the part that got me on that story, Alan, is that Madonna's involved in this. Madonna, who's over 60 years old and complaining that she feels that she's not she's given any attention because she's 60 years old. And then you look at her, and whether if it's the plastic surgery, the whatever, the blood transfusions, that lady is just, I don't know, I'm saying pure evil, gotta be. She's a Kabbalist, right? So, and that's a form of Jewish mysticism. And so she believes in magic, right? And she believes in evil. And something's up with that. I don't know. And it's just very suspect timing for all this stuff happening. It's rather amazing.
Well, I did hear Jerry in the background. I heard chickens at least, so I guess we ought to go to him, huh?
I'm going to shut up. Jerry. Hi, Jerry.
Hey, I heard my rooster snoring over the radio. I muted it for a few seconds. But how long has this deal in Europe been going on, this Europe deal?
Eurovision?
Yeah.
It was on
they do it every year. It's like last year, this little freak thing that looked like Pat, you know, the androgynous Pat from Saturday Night Live, got up and did like a...
Well, when did they start this?
Started in the 60s.
Yeah, long time.
In the 1960s.
Okay. Well, then we've got to wonder who started it first, Austin and Keeping Austin Weird, or if it's a European thing.
I think it progressively got weirder. You know, ABBA came out of there, and I think somebody said that Olivia Newton-John did. And so, but who?
Well,
yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, that's been one of Austin's mottos for decades. Keep Austin Weird. Y'all may not even know about that, but anyway, it's been around for 30, 40 years. But
yeah, what was the guy
anyway,
they used to prance around in a tutu. I forgot who that guy was. He was one of the big parts of Austin. That guy walked around downtown in a tutu and the leotards. I forgot what that guy's name
was.
Well,
I don't remember him, but there was a guy that wore the bikini that stood on the corners of major intersections. Oh, goodness,
that's
this is 20 years ago,
probably.
30 years ago. But, yeah, probably. What was his name? Leslie? I forget now.
There you go, Leslie.
But, yeah. But, anyway, the main reason I called y'all brought it up on the cost of the shops, automotive repair shops and what have you.
Oh,
it was last year, I guess. Up here north of Middle of Old Town, Gulfway. I'll throw it out. A little independent garage up there, and I stopped by just to get a vehicle inspection done. And the owner of it, he was in there, and he was kind of despondent. And I said, "What's going on?" He said, "I just got back from my tax man and my banker." He said, "Hey, there's no way that I can stay ahead." He said, "Every time I turn around, there's something new." And I talked to him. I said, "It's really none of my business. But I'm just curious on this little old shop. I guess you can pull pull cars in from either side. So it's, I'm going to say it's about a 7-bay shop, and then he had office. But anyway, I said, "What's your property tax here?" And he looked at me. He said, "It's over $1,800 a month." Now, folks, that cost that man $1,800 every month, whether he opens the doors or not, because of a property tax. And then you start tacking on insurance and, you know, and you got employees, you know. Last time I knew, you take a salary. Mm-hmm. If you're paying a man, a person, $1,000 a week, it costs that employer $1,600 a week to employ that person by the time you pay unemployment insurance, matches Social Security and Medicare, and on. You know, the average person don't see that, you know, it's crazy, absolutely crazy. And we were supposed to be a country and a state
totally
for the small business.
they've engineered away auto mechanics. You know, they've made it so it's really going to eliminate, you know, auto mechanics. The whole cash for clunkers killed a whole genre of vehicles that would be good first starter cars for all of our population. Oh. And, you know, good useful cars, you know, when we gave them all away and destroyed them. Right. But then that,
well, a lot that of them, I could swear I've seen some of those cars that was junkers that was paid in back on the road. I wouldn't get on in front of a judge and swear on a Bible, but they sure looked like some of my neighbors had traded in for a lesser car, you know. And people don't do the math on that. You drive 1,000 miles a week or a month, and you got a vehicle paid for, even if gas $5 a gallon. How long is it going to take you to pay off a $15,000 car on the amount of fuel mileage that you're going to increase? Cost of fuel. Am I making sense? You know.
Yeah.
It's absolutely crazy. Okay. Now then, the main reason I called, Republic of Texas, the secession, if you I hear about, I'm all about it. You know, I was born, I'm fourth, fifth generation Texan, okay? I'm pre-Texas Revolution and my ancestry. So, you know, had a lot of great things we gave up. But any state trying to secede from the United States would make the Brexit look like a cakewalk, I think, because of what we have allowed our federal government, legislative government, and the alphabet non-legislative government do to us. You start looking at all the infrastructure. I'm talking about government buildings, military bases. That's just tip of the iceberg. Our monetary and banking system. I probably told you this. I remember when it happened back in the 80s, Dolph Briscoe was governor. We had that big crunch, and banks and savings and loans were failing across the nation, but Texas was the worst. And I had a friend, a banker friend, at one time was my friendly banker, and I'm serious about that. I asked him when all this was going on. I said, "What is going on?" And I didn't know it till he told me. Nobody's fault but my own, I guess, for not asking questions sooner. Up till the 80s, Texas had an intrastate banking. All the revenues, all the money that was deposited in a bank in Texas stayed, the deposit stayed in Texas. If there was a branch bank from Manhattan or L.A. or wherever, they had a bank here, Texas Charter. The money that went into that bank here had to stay. They could not transfer any of those deposits or anything out of the state of Texas to another state. And we're sitting across a little diner table. We're talking, and I asked him, I said, "What's going on?" He told me. And he shook his finger at me. He said, "You mark my words. They're out to break the Texas banking system. And they'll do it. In less than 3 months, Dolph Briscoe called a special session of the Texas State Legislature for the very purpose to open up the Texas banking system to interstate banking. They have infiltrated.
Savings loans. One of the guys I worked for lost $80,000 in that, and my uncle lost $40-something thousand in that when the savings and loans crashed. Yeah, it hurt,
Marked down the value, yeah. Marked the value. And it wasn't just the bank, those S&Ls. It was also here in Texas, probably one out of ever one bank failed. They used to have Bank of the Hills there in North Austin that was owned by Lady Bird Johnson.
When we talk about the banking system, we're still talking about the Ponzi scheme that's eventually going to blow apart at the seams, you know, globally, right? So this whole thing, know, is past due, right? You know, propped up by oil sales and, you know, fiat and ignorance and whatever, it's going to go.
I'm using the bank as an example and the U.S. monetary system. But they have embedded in us so much, and they have so many different roots system in every state with all the... I've got a neighbor that was elected county commissioner.
Yeah.
He spent 2 or 3 weeks after he took office going to school, learning how to handle the funds that have been up. Huh?
He's learning how to screw people, or, you know, learning how to pay the debt. You know,
Well,
but tell me. Sorry, Go ahead. What did he learn?
Here's what happened. They take and they put. We have these government entities. I said, well, we'll give you so much money for a rural water system. Or we'll give you so much money for public housing and what have you. And this is how you got to spend it. And if you get out of these guidelines, we're going to pull it, and then we're going to charge you penalties and a bunch of stuff. So he's having to deal with things that previous elected officials have obligated us to, all this free money.
Yep.
You know, just like school system. You know, we're going to give you $10 per student to do this for so many years, and then after that, it's on your own. But for that $10 for those many years, it's going to cost you another $10 to implement it and keep it running. You know, and you just look at all the promises: cities, counties, schools, you name it. You know,
I totally get there. But here's the deal. Here's the deal. When that happens, you say no, okay? And when Texas leaves, right, it's probably going to be in a shocking, traumatic event, right? It's not going to be everybody gets through together and sings kumbaya, and then we balance the bottom line and say, we are leaving now. You just say, hey, I'm a rock. There is no water. You know, you can't crush it out of me. You know, we're done. The collapse of the financial system could be part of that. And, you know, all of a sudden there is no money. Right, Jerry? You know, there is no money.
We don't have money now. I mean, when you get right down to it. But, U.S. currency is nothing but cryptocurrency.
But when we don't have money, then we still have hard assets that we can trade and barter and try to get food and whatnot. And, you know, we'll deal with that. It could be that the cryptocurrencies will be somewhat useful at that time. Gold and silver probably will be. But Texas has one thing. It has a land office where all land is centrally registered in Austin, Texas. It has an own independent power grid. So we can get the thing working, right? We don't need Oklahoma. We don't necessarily need New Mexico or anybody else, right? We can turn the lights on ourselves.
Well, we got major ports, seaports.
And, you know, so we have great debt, right? All these cities are doing stupid things, and they do a thing called floating a bond, which means borrowing money, right? So all of a sudden they borrow something, you know, $15 million to build a baseball stadium, right, because they want to play on it. And so the people go, well, you borrowed $15 million, and you go, bummer. Come on. I'm sorry. I can't pay you that. We'll talk later, okay? But right now I'm focusing on my people. And you, otherwise, you know, bummer. Sorry. Problems here. Can't deal with your $15 million that you loaned me to build a baseball stadium. I know we were stupid. I get that. We're changing right now. So,
you know, I heard something the other day. I might have mentioned it to y'all, someone, that these school bonds that's issued and sold, according to somebody comes on LBJ Saturday's, he's a financial advisor or something, he said that in an event of monetary shortage, that these people that have these school bonds get paid before any of the teaching staff at school administration gets paid. And I thought,
yeah. You know, some of that is so damn stupid, too. You know, we sat there and we gave a generation all these great retirement benefits, and now we can't pay them their wonderful golden parachute and pay the actual, whatever, facilitators at school they call teachers, right? Or they can't buy the books from the people that sell them the overpriced politically correct books about homosexual activity. You know, it's all screwed up. It's going to be a mess. But hey, Jerry, about Texas independence, there's a thing, and there's a really good example of how Texas independence will come about if it ever does, because we could all die before it, right? You know, the whole nuclear strike, go to war, could be the last war, right? You know, you never know. Call me negative or whatever. But
yeah, we might all be doing glass here, yeah.
In San Francisco, there was this bicycle ride that I used to go on when I lived there. It was called Critical Mass, and you might have heard about it. And what happens is all these bicycles assemble on a certain Friday every month, right? And so you get together in this one area, and a whole bunch of bikes show up, you know, hundreds and hundreds of bicycles, maybe even 1,000 bicycles at times. And everybody sits there and they talk with each other and, you know, they get ready to go take over the streets. And then they just drive down the streets, and then cars can't move, motorcycles can't move. All you got is a complete couple miles filled with bicycles. Well, these bicycles, they all amass at this one area by the ferry building. And it's just like everybody keeps trying to get them to leave, right? You know, it's 6 o'clock. I've been sitting around here since 4 o'clock. Let's go. They'll grab an air horn and go, yeah, let's go. And try to drive away, but the whole crowd wasn't ready to leave yet. And so you watch all these people trying to steer the crowd, and they can't. And that's kind of like Texas independence. People are sitting there, you know, waving the flag and saying, come on, let's go. The whole crowd isn't ready yet. And you can't really figure out when they're ready. Well, I guess if the cops were sitting there beating them with batons, they'd start going. You know, so that's one way to inspire the crowd to move.
Knock a few off of the tires.
The what?
Knocking a few of them off their bicycles with tasers and get in gear and get on out.
Yeah.
Shoot them in the rump. Yeah,
sure.
Light them up.
but they'd probably scatter at that point. You know, I don't know.
Works for me, but anyway. Go ahead with your scenario. I'm sorry.
I don't know. So what I'm trying to say is I don't know when Texas independence is going to come about, if it will come about. I'd say it's far more likely that Texas could become an independent republic again than the United States could. You know, I love the idea that allegedly Trump is trying to push the Posse Comitatus. What is that act again? The 1807 Insurrection Act, which is interesting,
yeah.
Right?
Because I need to read that.
Yeah, if it happens, right, we could have problems with, well, no, we could have solutions to election meddling by Facebook and by Google and by Twitter and by every single media corporation in the United States for them sitting there putting out opinion pieces constantly without covering the actual news. That's inciting...
Exit polls. You know, I wonder how many... how many elections have been won or lost just by the exit polls on election day?
Sure. Uh-huh. And, you know, it's a criminal organization out there that's manipulating the outcomes. And,
well,
I don't know what
to say. You're familiar with Road Warrior. Is it Road Warrior? Sharon Post.
Yeah.
Yeah, not Chris Hinckley, Sharon, Aaron Shope that comes on Saturday mornings. He's not road warrior. He's Chris is road warrior. Yeah. He was talking a couple of weeks ago about, you know, he was hitting Trump. Now, I don't mind admitting I voted for Trump, and I'd vote for him again. It's the people that the deep, wide, undrainable swamp that's the problem. But that's a different topic for a different time. But I called him. He's down on Trump. Well, you know, only one man can only do so much. But I ask him, I flat out ask him, and I'll throw this out to everybody that's listening. Who would you vote for to get this country back? Who's out there that you can vote for? That's any more capable.
Anyone, you get enough people of like mind that are good people. That's it. You don't vote for anyone. You get enough good people and you do it. Voting is good.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you know, only one person can do so much. But anyway, thanks for taking my call. I just want to talk about the independence, how we can achieve it. I think it's
good conversation.
I think what's happened is kind of like you said, when it hits the fan, everybody just has to pull together and say, look, this is what we got, and this is what we're going to keep, and the rest of you go on your way. But it's just a kind of amorphous, I guess is the word. It'll just kind of happen. But anyway,
yeah.
Guys, y'all have a good Sunday. Thanks for taking my call.
Yeah.
I got to go in there and pop my goat and chicken. Oh. Yeah, thank you. Bye-bye.
Oh, what a place we were in, Alan. You know, I'm crazy.
I have no faith in the political system. We get platitudes, and the actions never even attempt to come close to what the platitudes put out. And this happens. It's happened my whole lifetime.
Uh-huh. Yeah. So what do you do? We just wait for it? Wait for it.
Try to inform as many people as possible about what's going on. And then we can't talk about what actually is going to eventually happen, because then they come pick us up. You know?
That's true.
A terroristic threatening or whatever you want to call it. You know, but we all basically know what's has to happen. I mean, you know, it's going on there on every other country that's ever been on this planet. And, you know, it will happen here.
Well, it's going to happen when it happens. I find it an interesting time we're walking through right now with the whole...
It's the same basic people that are in charge still. I mean, you know, look at the European Union. The Junkers, you know, my God, you know, that's... You know, that's A.G. Farben, you know, I.G. Farben and AMG Gesellschaft and all that stuff. The corporations that have been around forever, the black nobility, whatever you want to call them, the ones that are in control.
Go back to the phone.
Monty Python tried to tell us about that.
What was that, Alan?
That Monty Python tried to tell us about that.
It's
the same people in control still, basically.
Sure. Let's grab Frank. Frank, are you there?
I am here. Good morning. I just wanted to say, you know, I'm one of those guys that voted for Trump. And, you know, I was slow coming to get on the Trump train because I'd be honest with you, I'd heard of Trump's name. I'd hear about him every now and then on the radio, or maybe 20 years ago I'd hear Rush Limbaugh tell some little story about something in the news about some guy, some rich guy, New Yorker named Trump or whatever. And, you know, but I never followed him. I never watched a minute of any of his TV shows or any of that. So, but, you know, the thing is, at some point, he was saying all the right things. Somehow he had the intel from, you know, either something he was himself listening to or watching, or he had people you know, feeding him, you know, and training him. Look, this is what they want to hear. This is what they want to hear, and they'll love you if you say this. And he started saying it, and he was saying all the right things, and I kept thinking, does he really mean it? Does he really mean it? And I, at some point, said, you know what? I'm going to vote for the guy. There's no other choice. I mean, I might as well bite the bullet one more time and vote for somebody who's at least saying the right things. Right. I guess in a way, I even thought, you know what? Even if he doesn't do it, I just want to show this is what we're voting for. This is what we want. We're voting for what this guy's saying he's going to do. Even if he doesn't do it, I want to see how many people we can get to vote for what this guy is saying. And then I would hear people that never would get on the Trump train. They would just shake their head like, man, you guys are going to be real disappointed. This guy's not what you think. And I remember thinking, you know what? They're probably right. And they were. This guy's a traitor. Whatever excuses you want to make, he has stabbed us in the back. He's a traitor. He didn't man up and do what he told us he was going to do.
Yep. And you know
he didn't even try. He's not even trying.
Late when I get that, we got to go to break.
Yeah,
here.
We got music there. We'll be right back. Hang on, Frank.
It happens more often than we can imagine. In my case, I was sitting at home, and out of nowhere, I just started feeling uncomfortable. Then it got worse, and I started perspiring. I tried to ignore it, but I waited too long. The chest pain came as we were driving to the hospital emergency. I felt my life clock begin to tick. I barely survived. There was lots of damage done to my heart. What do I do now? I was lucky. I took a leap of faith and tried a 7-herb formula with hawthorn, garlic, cayenne, and more called Extendivite. Herbs have been used for thousands of years to keep us healthy. If you're not using Extendivite as a preventative supplement, maybe it's time to start. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2 keep it today.
All right. As we round the last few minutes of the show, Frank is joining us from North Carolina, and Alan, were you trying to get in there?
I would like to say real quick. You know, I've started creating what they kind of taught me. You know, I was kind of at that verge of education where they stop training you to think at all; you just react. And I've done some research, and basically that's what I've honed my research skills. I in fact stick with me. It's like Trump came in, there's only that little spark, that little hope. I just that little bit of hopium. I'm not a hopium addict, but there's that little bit of hopium stuck back there, in my brain that, if I'm wrong, I'll come out and say I'm wrong. That's fine with me. But I connect things. It's like the Wharton School of Business, where he went to school, supposedly. His claim to fame there, was created by the Tavistock Institute. You look at, high-powered, building in New York City, skyscrapers and casinos in Atlantic City and everything. You know that he's dealt with every high-level banker that there is, being right there in the middle of it. He's had to deal with the mafia and all those connections with the gambling system, the graft, the corruption, and he's been in it his whole life. And, so he's been bankrupt supposedly, three times? The guy's not really hurting, is he? I mean, he's not like living under a bridge. He's not Jimmy Joe Fred Bob from down the street. He got up and he said that, and when he said what he did,
in front of Hillary Clinton, to Hillary Clinton, about Hillary Clinton, and he's still breathing, I knew the whole thing was a setup because the Clintons don't act that way. I lived through the reign of terror in Arkansas. I connect things. I'd like to say I was wrong, and if it comes out, I'll get on here and say, well, I was wrong, I'm a dumbass, you know?
Well, you know, it's not only what he's done and what he hasn't done, what he won't do. It's also who he surrounds himself with, who his family is. I mean, there's nothing good about him. There's nothing good about the guy, except he knows how to pay us lip service.
Yeah, he's an actor. You know, is he MK Ultra? Is he mind controlled? Tavistock Institute? Well, you know, there's always that possibility. But, you know, I've heard the possibility that the reason why Jared Kushner's even there at all is because his last bankruptcy, the Kushner family is the one that bailed him out of it. Truth or not, you know, that came from Veterans Today, you know, Gordon Duff, you know, who actually, you know, tells you that, yeah, some of what I tell you isn't the truth. But, you know, I'd rather almost have someone tell me that, you know, don't believe everything I have to say, check it out yourself, than someone sit there telling me that they're telling me the exact truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth.
Jared Kushner is his senior advisor. That's reason enough right there for me to jump headfirst off the Trump train.
Yeah.
In light of everything that's taken place and not taken place since got sworn in. I'm telling you. You're right, though. You know, I had a little bit of hope. I had that spark of hope. But I'm not a hopium addict like some of these people, man. They're gonna wake up sooner or later and get a reality check. But unfortunately, and I'll admit, if somehow it, towards the end of his presidency or a second term, he starts doing all the things that we wanted him to do, I'll say, wow, I don't, you know, I can't explain this. I was wrong. But when has that ever happened? When has that ever happened in history? Where some guy comes in, says he's going to do it.
Yeah, those of us who have memory know that it doesn't happen.
It doesn't happen. It never has, and it's not going to. That's what people need to get real with.
Mm.
And then the swamp is big.
Yeah. Oh, and getting deeper. If the truth is never talked about, Frank, you know, it's not the truth. You know, it might, and you want to get philosophical, you know, it's the truth all the time because the truth is the truth. But if it's never talked about, no one perceives it as the truth. And the world we live in is all perception, perceived value, perceived truth, perceived everything. And what is reality? It pretty much sucks, you know?
And I heard the pinnacle of truth, the biggest truth teller in the world, Alex Jones, not too long ago, a couple years ago, talking about what a great president he thought Jared Kushner was going to be one day. Not of Israel, but of the United States.
Yeah, but
he's got a center time.
Well, everyone knows the Saudis basically run Hollywood, and I was like, I don't think I got family who's out there in Hollywood, and it's not run by the Saudis.
You know, I'm not a Bible thumper, and I'm not, you know, a lot of people probably don't like me because I don't read the Bible a lot. But I tell you, I think they're onto something. I mean, you know, a lot of these biblical scholars, they think Jared Kushner could, I mean, he meets the description that they see in the Bible of the second coming of, you know, or the fake Messiah, the devil himself.
All right, guys. Become the
weird presence.
One. Yeah, I think we're coming up to the end of the show. I'm hearing music. So, hey, thanks for the call there, Frank. Alan, appreciate you. Thanks for doing the show. Everybody else, have a good Sunday. And, watch out for the Trump train. Yeah, okay. Bye-bye.
The tree of life is us, my friends.
Many people write us about their experience with Extendivite. Allow me to read you some from Amazon.com. It really does work like the review says it does. I cannot believe that after the first few days, I didn't feel as sluggish or clogged up. It has had a profound impact on my physical, emotional well-being. I'm skeptical as most people about products and their claims, and I never write reviews, but this is a wonderful product and I recommend it to everyone. Great product. It has brought my blood pressure from the mid-150s over the 80s to the mid-130s over mid-80s. Along with diet and exercise in just the past couple of months. Excellent. Thank you, David. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
This is RBN.